While you're standing, let's go to Leviticus. I have a concept or a principle. You know, the Bible is a book of principles that if you apply even the principles of this book into your everyday life, the same principle that works here works out there. It's a principle. And if you obey these principles, then you will have a great life even in this world. And I want to teach a principle here tonight found in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 28. He says, notwithstanding no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possessions, shall be sold. Nothing you devote to the Lord shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Anything you devote to God, He takes seriously. Let's pray. Lord, I come before you tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we sometimes loosely use the definition that you have here tonight and say we give things to you and yet we take them back. And help us tonight to really understand what it is to give you something. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Anybody ever heard the term Indian giver? Anybody ever been an Indian giver? Now, see, I'm still trying to find who they are. Every time I ask a question like that, anybody been mistreated? Everybody raise their hand. You ever mistreated anybody? Nobody raised their hand. So everybody was an Indian giver to you, but you wasn't never an Indian giver to anybody else. That's amazing. I'm preaching a real holy church here tonight. The most phony people are the ones that go to church. But an Indian giver, I had to do a little research about that. As you know, I'm kind of a guy that likes to know what I am saying. And so I'm going to, you know, you remember that other pen? Well, I'm an Indian, okay? This is not, I'm just old-timing. We're Lewis and, you're Lewis and Clark. You be Lewis, you be Clark. And ugh, I give you pen. I give you pen. Thank you very much. I give you pen. I give you pen. Give back my pen. Give back my pen. And this is true where this term Indian giver has been misunderstood. Because Indian giver came from the pilgrims that did come across, and Lewis and Clark, truly, met Indians and things, and the Indians only knew bordering. The Europeans, when they came over, they knew get out the billfold, and that was we give you this, you give me this in return. But Indians didn't know that, so when they would come across an Indian, and he'd say, you know, I give you beads. I give you beads. What are you going to give me? I give you dog. I don't like that dog. It better be something of equal value. Or he says, give me back what I gave you. Therefore, we use the term Indian giver. Wrongly. Because what happens is people give you something and then they want it back. But what did you give them so that they wouldn't take it back? So in this system of bordering, which goes back forever, every time there is a gift, there is expected something back. It may be a card. It may be a thank you. It may be, how many times you ever give something to somebody and said, man, they didn't even say thank you. And how many more gifts do you give them? That's it. Why? Because you was expecting something back. And I want to talk about this because anytime something is given, something must be given back. Even the scripture says, give and it shall be given, right? So it's a principle that if you give, you should receive something back for what is given. Now, if you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, my brothers and sisters, don't sit on it. it sat on them. You don't sit on it. And it sat upon each of them, but you shouldn't sit on it. And if he gave you that blessed gift of eternal life, my question to you is, if you don't give him something back, you'll be finding him an Indian giver. He's going to say, give me back what I gave you. Is that not what he did to the guy who had the talent? He gave him a talent. He come back and he said, here's your talent back. He said, I want usury. I want something back on what I gave you. Not just what I gave you. I give you a pen, you give me a pen back. I don't want what I gave you. I want something better than I gave you or of equal value. Now, I know that we can't die on a cross and we can't, you know, and those sort of things. But what God expects back is what you have to give unto him. Amen. And so many times I'm hesitant to give people something because, or receive something, I should say, because they turn around and say, now you owe me one. I'm indebted now. And I'm a slave now because I received what you gave me. You owe me one. Okay. All right. Well, I'll pay you back someday. But and then when I want to talk about when you give something to God, you need to give it to God. You understand what I'm talking about? We always say, I'm going to give this situation to God. I'm going to give my children to God. I'm going to give this to God. And we don't get out of that door before we're already talking about it again. And I want to talk about different levels of devotion tonight because the Lord is no different. When you give him something, he wants to exchange something with you and give you something back for what you gave to him. And this principle of giving goes all the way back to Genesis, where not with Adam and Eve because they didn't have anything to give. Not in the beginning. God gave them everything. All he wanted was communication with them. He just wanted them to communicate with him. But Adam and Eve gets expelled from the garden. They're denied the access to the tree of life. And so they ended up having two children, one named Cain and one named Abel. Let's go to the word of the Lord and let's look at this tonight in our study. Genesis 4 and 3. In the process of time, in other words, it took time. It came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit. In the process of him raising his fruit, nobody plants a seed and gets a harvest tomorrow. Nobody has a lamb today and it has more sheep tomorrow. It's a process of time. And so in the process of time, when Cain got to the place that he had more fruit, see, this is what not been understood in this passage of Scripture. It was just not one day he said, hey, I'm going to give the Lord something. It was the process of time that he brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. He was going to give an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. Now, let me finish reading. I'm going to get back to this. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. I want to teach you tonight how to get the respect of God. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. Sin is always waiting for an open door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, the key to this scripture here is of gaining God's respect is that when we read this passage of scripture, over the process of them raising these things, they came into more of the same thing. Right? If you plant something, you get more of the same thing. If you have oxen, cattle, whatever, you're going to get more of the same thing. So in the process of time, when some more of the same thing came along, they wanted to give unto God of what they had. Now, when you look at what Brother Cain gave, it says he brought of. It doesn't show any specificity. It doesn't show any what portion, beginning, last, middle, good, bad, whatever. Okay, it doesn't say that. It just says he brought of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And the Lord had no respect for it. But Brother Abel brought of the firstlings. That's a significant difference of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Now, that fat means, it's not necessarily blubber, it means the best thereof. When the prodigal son came home, they killed the fatted calf, right? They killed the best one, the one that was reserved or devoted or the one I'm saving for God. So it was the firstling that he gave unto him. So the first fruit is considered the most holy fruit. We're going to talk about levels of devotion, levels of giving, what you give to God, out of your abundance or out of your needs. That's the one he noticed was the one that said she gave out of her need. The others gave out of their abundance, of their treasures. She gave her treasure. Okay? And so when we look at this first fruit principle, we understand that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, right? So you're sitting here today with y'all's nice clothes on, and it's a good gift and all that. It comes from God. Life comes from God. Everything that is good comes from God. Everything that is bad or evil comes from Satan. And so things that are sanctified are things that are set apart, but not necessarily the most holy things. He talked about a house. There's houses in a great house. There's vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And you work your way up. It said a man can become a vessel of honor if he purges himself. So he works his way up to become more valuable to the household. And so you can sanctify things unto God. I want to set this apart for God. It may be the middle. It may be some part. I want to give this to God. But what do you want to devote to God? What do you devote to God? It better not be part of something. It better be the best of the best that you have. That's what we need to devote unto God. And that's why I don't take baby dedications lightly. You know I'm the most serious baby dedication person that I have ever known. Because you are telling me you are going to devote this child to God. And I expect you to get this child to the church. I expect you to live for a holy life in front of this child, because the devotion is really you. As a parent, it's you need to devote yourself, and then the child will follow you, because you train a child up, and the way she goes, they won't depart from it. So the devotion really goes to the parent. Are you devoted? You can't expect an infant to be devoted. Are you devoted? So what would you devote to God? When Hannah devoted her child to God, she said, "You give me a child, I will devote it unto you." That's what she did. She had a child, she weaned a child, and she left the child. She gave it, her only child, like Abraham, like Christ. It was devoted unto the house of God. And the Bible says that not a word that Samuel said fell to the ground. Why? Because there was a mama that devoted herself and her child to the service of the Lord. Amen. So what are you willing to devote unto God? When you look in the New Testament, it talks about devout men. Ananias being a devout man. And devout men buried Stephen. It talked about devout men. These were men that were set aside to the service of the Lord. How much are we giving God? Is it part of your time? Part of this? Part of that? Is there anything in your life you say, "I give this to God"? Before you answer that, let's learn some more. Because there are levels of dedication that we all have in our lives. Sanctification is a level, but it's not as high as a devoted level. When you devote something, it is devoted. It should be devoted to what we call a superlative, or to the highest level. That's what a superlative is. So when you look at, for example, it talks in the Bible, a servant of servants. Okay, it's the best servant of the servants. The Sabbath of Sabbaths. And then we get to the one we like to quote, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. So it's the superlative. It is the best. Well, let me tell you, God has a superlative about your giving too. He said, covet the best gifts. There are better gifts that you can give to God perhaps than your giving. That's what we need to explore tonight, is what are we willing to give to God? So when you talk about the old tabernacle plan of Moses, because I'm talking about this doctrine, if you will, of devotion. It was a commandment. And in the tabernacle of Moses, you had the holy place. But there was a veil between the holy place, which had the candlestick and the shewbread and the lights. And then the veil separated man from God. But a man, and only the high priest, and not without blood, could go in there to bring the sins of men to what was called the Holy of Holies. It was the holiest place. It was the place where you give something to God you don't want back sometimes. You don't want that sin back. You want him to consume that sin like the sacrifice was consumed at the altar when you entered into the tabernacle. But he will consume it at the holiest of holies when you get behind the veil. And so you and I need to understand that we need to give God some things, our iniquities, our sins, and our trespasses, never to be returned to us. But if you don't give to God your best and everything you can, then what happens is he becomes like the Indian giver. I give you salvation. I give you peace. I give you joy. What you give me back? Nothing. Give me my peace back. Give me my joy back. And this is what happens to people that don't live for God once they've known God. They lose all of that. See, God does not curse you. You just become like the rest of the world. Living for God brings upon a goodness upon you. It brings a goodness. So God begins to bless you. But you don't want to live for God. He just said, I'll take my goodness away. And we feel like God's punishing us. No, you're like the rest of the world. So God gives you forgiveness. So he says, forgive, and you can be forgiven. So what are you giving? Because what a man sows, that shall he also reap. And what you mete out will be met back to you, right? So this law of devotion is a commandment that whatever you give to God, you can't get back without penalties. I'm talking about whatever you devote to God, you cannot get back without penalties. Now, I had to learn this lesson the hard way. How many of y'all been to the School of Knox? I went to that school a few times. I went to the university, I think. Graduated. Praise the Lord. And first in my class, too. And I'll never forget, you know, I'm a giver. I like to give. But at the same time, I had to understand what it really meant to give as unto the Lord. See, there's a difference of giving and giving as unto the Lord. Because, see, when we say as unto the Lord, that's something you don't get back. See? And so I was in a church one time. Well, I'm going to run out of time. Is it okay if I run out of time and keep going? Okay. And so I was in a church one time, and they had a nice lady that was in the church, and she had a nephew. She had her own children, and she had a nephew that she was raising who his parents didn't come to church. I don't know anything about him. But I noticed that the young man that she was taking care of, and I admired her for taking care of this young man. And his clothes weren't too good. I mean, she was doing the best she could. I wasn't belittling her. But I thought, you know, I could help her. And so my wife and I talked, and we decided to give $500 to the church to give to her. I didn't want her to know anything about it. So we gave the church the $500, and I told the pastor, or whatever, I said, give it to her and tell her to help this man, this young, to help. It was to help her buy clothes and raise, you know, I was already designating what I wanted it to do, and to help that young boy. Well, I'm telling you, it was within a week that I stopped into the convenience store as I was leaving to get something to drink. Well, when I went in there, she was, the lady I gave it to was checking out and had a pack of cigarettes in her hand. And immediately she told me, she said, oh, this isn't for me. This is for my husband. He made me buy some cigarettes before I went home. And I thought, that's my money. That's my money right there buying those cigarettes. And I began to feel in my heart that, oh, hey, I did that. I wished I hadn't have done that. You see, and I had to understand, repent, because I gave it as unto the Lord. So what people do with what you give to them, you are out of control with that. I don't want it back, because what I want to say was, give me back, you see. So as you give unto the Lord, that level of devotion of giving, you must understand, when I give it, I gave it. All right. So let's look back at Leviticus 27 and 26 and read this again. Part of our text scripture. He said, only the firstling of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling. No man shall sanctify it, means set it apart for himself, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. That first thing that comes out, it's the Lord's. That first thing that gets ripe, it's the Lord's. That first dollar, it's the Lord's. Because he gave you the health to get it. All right? And if it be an unclean beast, though, he said, now if it's a pig, then thou shalt redeem it according to thine estimation. Say, okay, it's worth, you know, such and such. And add a fifth part, not a tenth, a fifth part, that's twice as much, of it thereunto. And if it be not redeemed, then thou shalt it shall be sold according to thy estimation. If you redeemed it, you exchanged it for something else, and then you was able to value that. But if you don't redeem it, then he said, I want you to give a fifth part if you redeem it, and if you sell it according to thy estimation. So the first thing that comes into your life, and you know, I've been here 12 years. I don't think I've ever preached tithing. I just really don't preach that. I feel like people understand the principle of it and the value of it. But in this passage of Scripture, it talks about what you give unto God, you must take your hands off of it. You must take your hands off of it. And so he said, if it's an unclean beast, you're not exempt. In fact, you may have to give a little more. Okay? Now, notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and of beast, and of the field of his possession. You see, that's Cain. What Cain had a field. But if it's whatever you devote unto the Lord, you cannot get it back. Shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Whatever you give to God, he wants the first fruits of everything. And when you give it to him, he says, that's the most holy. Now, I don't know for you that raise fruit. I can tell you, I can't wait till that first pear gets ripe. I'm telling you, I'm like feeling that first watermelon, you know. Lord, when those things going to get ripe? And when it finally gets ripe, the Lord says, that's mine. That one's mine. You got all the rest. See? And when I realize I have all the rest, that's the difference between the heave offering and the wave offering. The heave offering was the sack that went over the back. The wave offering is what they showed the Lord. And the Lord got the first and they got the rest. Amen. So what's wrong with the rest? But the first fruit belongs to God because he's the one that made it get ripe to start with. So it says in verse 29, none devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Once you give it to God, brother, you better give it to God and leave it alone. And all the tithe of the land, whether it be seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, the Lord, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Amen. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereunto a fifth part thereof. In other words, you exchange it for something else. You didn't give me the first part. You owe twice as much. And concerning the tithe of the herd and of the flock, and whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth part be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search. Now watch this. He shall not search whether it be good or bad. I kind of like that one there. They give that one to the Lord. That one there, that's the runt of the litter. Neither shall he change it. Substitute that one for that one. That one there I want to keep. And if he changes it all, then both of it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. He gets it all. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And I can hear voices that say, oh, that was Old Testament. It also says in the Old Testament, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. It says those things too. So what do? Get to pick and choose what we want? What happened was the New Testament was the fulfillment of the law. So it doesn't become that I got to get up here and preach and legislate to you what you need to do, because your heart ought to tell you what to do. So whenever you give God something, he is expecting you to devote something back to him. Amen. That's why he said everything that's got breath. I mean, like every 10th breath, you ought to say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got to give something back to the Lord every day I live. Something got to go back to the Lord. So if we're not careful, though, we'll agree to do things and then we disagree. And I want to show you, again, I'm not trying to put fear in anybody because you know I don't do that. But I want to show you the principle of the Old Testament of what he said and then what actually happened in the New Testament. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 and 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And the reason they sold the possession is because all of these apostles, these devout men, decided to have all things common. And they agreed to sell everything. You agree to sell everything you have? You agree with everything you have? You agree with everything? We all agreed, let's all sell everything we have and we're going to give it to the church. Let's see, everybody want to do that. If you don't want to do that, leave. If we're going to do that, stay seated. Okay, y'all all agree. We're going to sell everything we have and we're going to give it to the church. They all agreed to do that as devout men that were agreeing to give all their possession that they sold unto the Lord. But watch what happens. They sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part. They chose the part. He said, you don't get to choose it. And laid it at the apostles' feet. Here's what we sold. Here's what we agreed to. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the... See, it's a holy thing. He said, and to keep back part of the price and the land. You didn't lie to me, he said, but you lied to the Holy Ghost. Because you said, I'm going to set this apart as being holy and give it to the most holy. And you didn't do what is required. When you say, I'm devoting this to God, you cannot keep back the part. Okay? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? We didn't make you sell it. You could have said, I don't agree to this. We would have been happy with that. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, once you sold it, wasn't you? It is. Let me tell you something. The switch is in you. The switch is in you. The prodigal son had a switch in him. He decided to leave the father's house. And when he got down on his luck, the switch went the other way. He said, I'm going home. The spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. The switch is in you. And so they agreed to do it, but the switch said, let's keep back some. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. It's just like it said in the Old Testament. And gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these words. And the young men arose, wound him up, rolled him out, carried him out, and buried him. And we won't read, but the same thing happened to his wife, because she was in on it too. And so I'm trying to get a principle into you that when you use this word, I devote this to the Lord, you understand what you're devoting. Because you cannot carelessly devote things unto the Lord. One man said in the Bible, he said, if the Lord gives me victory over this enemy, I will give him a sacrifice, a burnt offering of the first thing that comes out of my house. And when he come home to tell of his victory, his daughter ran out of the house. You see, it's a serious thing. You have to understand when you say, I'm giving this to God. Well, you're going to be more careful next time what you say I'm giving to God. Or what you give to anybody. And let's look at Deuteronomy before I close tonight, 15 and 6. How many of you are blessed tonight? You feel blessed? You blessed? Good. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee. If you're blessed, it's from God. As he promised thee. I mean, this is part of the promises of God. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. In other words, you're going to have enough to help other people. But thou shalt not borrow. You won't need to. And thou shalt reign over many nations. And they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now that's like not even our church, okay? Because sometimes we go, well, they don't go to our church. Oh, really? They're part of our kingdom. So he said, if there's anybody in the whole kingdom that I give thee, you better take note of it. Thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand a little bit, and give him a little bit, and give him a little token, and make yourself feel good, and appease your conscience, because I give to the poor. That's all it says. I tell people, you're going to give somebody, make a meaningful difference. Because otherwise, you're just helping your conscience. That's all you're doing. open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Now there's a reason why he said lend. We see, I'm going to let you borrow it, but I want it back. There's a reason why he said lend it to him. Watch verse 9. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying the seventh year, the Lord is the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou shalt givest him nothing. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, it be sin unto thee. So what he's saying, see, every 7 years, if I lent you something at the beginning, at the end of every 7 years, it was a year of release. You had to forgive all your debts. If somebody owed you something at the end of 7 years, they hadn't paid you back, you had to forget it. Get over it. And so you go, you say, hey, I need your weed eater. And you wait, you go, man, in 3 more months, it's gonna be the time of release. And that guy ain't gonna pay me back. No, you can't have my, but if I had 7 years to get it back, I'd say, yeah, go ahead and borrow it. Your wicked heart. You know that every 7 years we got to release this thing, and because you might not get it back and no interest on that money, then I'm not going to give you nothing. Oh, but if that guy gets on his knees and says, Lord, I have a need. Send somebody my way, God. He's going to say, hey, buddy, I'm taking everything you got away from you. He's going to hold you accountable for not helping because you may not get. How many of you ever did something for somebody, loan money, you never got paid back? Raise your hand. Probably everybody. Everybody. And I had to learn that lesson too, of get over it. Oh, I have to preach to myself before I preach to y'all. And have an altar call too. Amen. As they come tonight, I'm going to finish this up. Thou shalt surely give him. It doesn't matter if it's next week or it's tomorrow. God's been too good to me. I got way more than I need. And if I shut up my bowels of mercy to this person, then the Lord, oh, he cries out. The Lord's going to hear him above me. And I'm fixing to be in trouble. Hallelujah. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved. Woo, hallelujah. I'm glad to help you when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works. Wow. Because you gave knowing I won't get paid back. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. Because if I give from my heart, liberally. See, that's the New Testament principle. God loves a cheerful giver. And that's why the box is in the back. And I don't take up the offering. Because if you don't want to give, we don't need your money. Because God will bless those that give. Amen. Bless you in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. How many of you can say, I'm a testimony. I am a walking testimony of God blessing everything I do. It just seems to work. How does that happen? Because you're a giver. Hallelujah. Now for the poor, he said, if you're going to say, well, I don't know what they're going to do with what I give them. And you know what? When I give them, they're going to be just as poor next year. So they ain't no need to help them. For the poor shall never cease. Even Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. It'll never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand. Would you do that with me as you stand tonight? Stand with me if you would. Hold your hands out. Hallelujah. and say, I open my hand wide to my brother and to the poor and to the needy in our church, in our land, the people, my neighbor, whatever it is, God. I realize the principle of giving. If he said, if you give, you shall receive. Pressed down, running over, shall men heap unto your bosom. Woo! Hallelujah. I got way more than I gave. Hallelujah. 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 Open your hand out to the Lord and give unto him some praise. Give him some glory as they sing that tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be a giver. Hallelujah. I want to obey the commandment of giving, Lord. Ooh, I give you everything, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All I have, Jesus. Yes, I will.